Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hello and good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We are the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate here in the Fort Mill, Rock Hill area. Got a great show lined up for you today. Of course, we're still coming through this COVID-19 thing. And just when we start to ease restrictions, we get a monsoon that lasts a few weeks. So hopefully, you know, this 2020 pandemic plague of events is soon to be forgotten. So, but anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Talk about what is going on in the marketplace, how you can take advantage, and what's out there for buyers and sellers right now. And to do that, got a very special guest, Lauren Green with Wilkinson ERA Real Estate here in the studio with us. Lauren, great to see you again. How are you?
I am wonderful, Brandon. It is super fantastic to see you. Thank you so much for the invitation to join you again.
Well, you bet. It is always good to be seen, especially now when we're coming out of this 2-3 month span where we haven't really had too much connections with anybody. It's always good to get out and see some new faces and to connect.
I am so glad that I'm looking at you and not my kids or my dog right now.
Right. or through a Zoom call maybe too.
Right, yeah.
Right. Although, you know, I guess that's kind of been the plus, you know, in all this was that with technology, there's so many new ways to stay connected. Mm-hmm. For the most part, of course, you know, the human interaction, the physical, you know, presence, I think is always best. But there has been so many great ways to stay connected and with, you know, family or friends, depending on, you know, where they're at physically or emotionally with what's been going on, to just kind of stay connected.
It's a great point, and it's funny you mention it because I really did spend a lot of the time that we were stuck at home reflecting on how fortunate we were to have those, you know, capabilities through technology to still stay connected with people, even though we were all in our, you know, little bubbles.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting. I spent a lot of time on social media during that time connecting with people that I probably never would have met, frankly, had we not all been stuck at home, you know, scrolling through our right. news feed and everything and participating in groups. So
yeah,
grateful for that.
For sure. You know, it certainly opened up some new doors and new avenues to kind of maybe scale back a little bit, you know, spend more time, you know, connecting and, you know, certainly social media, you know, you're at home, you know, kind of scrolling. Oh, I didn't know this person was doing X, Y, Z, whatever. Yeah. And then being able to reach out, maybe connect. So yeah, it's been that part of it has been good. So there's always some silver linings in any bad situation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if you've got questions anytime during or after the show, be sure to give us a call. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. So Lauren, kind of give us an idea of the marketplace right now. Obviously, we're kind of coming through this. We kind of maybe had a slight pause to the regular mm-hmm. spring buying market. We're heading into the summer. School's just now, well, e-learning at home is just now ending, right? And so moms and dads alike are rejoicing that they don't have to teach anymore. But kind of give us an update on where the market is right now. What do you see?
Well, it's surprisingly, it's still strong. And it's kind of stayed steady. You know, here in Charlotte and the surrounding areas, we've really been dealing with the same scenario for quite some time. And that is incredibly low inventory and lots of buyers. We just continue to have an influx of people coming into our region who are out there looking for homes. And unfortunately, they're kind of faced with the issue of what's out there to buy, right? So for instance, right now in our region, we have seen a decrease in our home inventory by 24%. We are facing a 1.9 month supply of homes. What does that mean? Well, in a balanced market, you have about 6 months' supply of homes. Okay. So we are in an incredibly strong seller's market. And what that means for sellers is that they are getting almost 100%, you know, for their listings every time they put them on the market. They're looking at shorter days on market and quicker closes because they're working with great loan officers like yourself who are able to, you know, turn around a loan in sometimes 14 days, 30 days. And then what it means for buyers is that they are often, especially in certain price points, faced with multiple offer situation, right? So buyers need to be incredibly prepared. They need to talk to a loan officer and get fully pre-approved. This is what I'm encouraging my buyers to do. Get fully pre-approved, even get through preliminary underwriting if you can, so that when you find the house that you want, you can make an offer right then and there. And, you know, it's a great time to buy because interest rates are pretty low still, right?
Substantially low.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's also a great time to sell because you're going to get a lot more money for your house than you would have, you know, several years ago. And on top of that, so you're going to net more and you're going to have more buying power because interest rates are low. So.
Yeah. And a great point that you made, Lauren, as far as, you know, don't get just pre-qualified. I think a lot of people right now think, you know, they do the application with their lender and their lender tells them, hey, everything looks good. You're pre-qualified. We're definitely stressing. We always do, but certainly right now we are definitely highlighting the importance of go ahead and getting pre-approved. And so mm-hmm. the difference is, you know, you complete the application and the lender is basically just reviewing what you put on the application and along with your credit report. Now, sometimes there's a lot of differences between what you may make for as far as income versus what a mortgage is actually going to qualify your income to be. That's just one example. And so a full pre-approval is actually submitting your documentation, you know, pay stubs and W-2s, your bank statements, things like that, to where the lender can actually do a full underwrite. Make sure there's going to be no issues coming down the road, making sure that all the documents match up with what's on the application, and then doing some internal reports. I think a lot of people don't understand that when we're processing a loan, we're doing lots of things behind the scenes that they're not aware of. Mm-hmm. Different internal reports. I won't go to the names because they kind of get sound scary, like a fraud guard report.
Right. Yeah.
That's run on every single loan just to make sure that nothing is out, you know, in the cyber world that maybe you're connected to an old foreclosure, things like that. So that's what a full pre-approval is, and that's going to make your offer so much stronger. It's going to make sure that you get to the closing table on time. So a very, very big deal, and certainly something that we're stressing the importance of to our buyers.
Absolutely. And, you know, it that's a great point, Brandon. It does make your offer incredibly strong. I'm also leaning on my loan officers to if we're submitting an offer, and especially in a multiple offer situation, I'll reach out to that person's loan officer and say, hey, I need you to call this listing agent and let them know that they are fully loaded and ready to go. Okay. And also, I really do it to mitigate risk for my buyers because I don't want them to go under contract, forfeit due diligence funds and earnest money and all that kind of stuff, only to find at the end that, you know, there was a hiccup and we're not going to close or we're not going to close on time. So it's definitely important to make sure that you're partnering with the right professionals and that they are safeguarding, you know, your investment and your interests.
Very, very important in any market, certainly this market. I've made a lot of those phone calls too, Lauren, as far as, you know, we've got some buyers that are in a multiple offer situation. It's got to be a 90% range of when I've called the listing agent, let them know that, hey, our buyers are good to go. I've mm-hmm. seen their documents, not just, you know, their application, but actually reviewed their documents. They're very well qualified. We're going to get to the closing table, no problem, and definitely give the listing agent a nice warm and fuzzy to mm-hmm. know, because she's got to look out, or he has to look out for that seller's best interest.
Yeah.
And the seller's best interest is to go into contract and to meet the terms of the contract, close on time, because more times than not, they're purchasing another home as well. Mm-hmm. So you've got this huge domino effect. So it's certainly so important to work with reputable companies, real estate agents, mortgage lenders, and attorneys. And so it's just very, very important. And a lot of times, you know, you may get a listing agent may get an offer with a pre-qualification from a bank or maybe someone they've never heard of. And that offer right away is not going to be viewed as
favorably
as you know, someone that she's familiar with, or maybe just someone that has reached out and kind of given her or him a nice warm and fuzzy about the buyers or being well qualified.
It's still such a relationship driven business, and
for
anything
sure.
that you can do to, you know, create a relationship with everybody involved in the transaction, the better off your clients are going to be. So.
I think it's always good to work with people that understand that we're all working towards the same goal, and that's to provide excellent service and to meet the details of the contract, to help the buyer purchase the home, to help the seller sell their home. And when you have a team of people working toward that common goal, because sometimes, you know, things do come up in the process. It could be, you know, it could be a mistake by somebody, or just could be, you know, something happened. Certainly,
well, we're human.
Right. You know, and certainly right now we've had, you know, things happen with a job loss because of this coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, tell me about
and
it.
And so how do we all work together to kind of get through that one particular issue to get it to closing? And so it makes such a difference when you're working with true professionals in the business.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you got
questions, it's an interesting market.
Yeah.
Is you know, long story short, and
That is for sure. So if you've got questions about the market, definitely give us a call anytime. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. So I know, Lauren, you do a lot with NAHRAP. Tell us about what that is and kind of your you know position there and what you guys working on for the community.
I am on my second year as a board member for NAHRAP, and NAHRAP is it stands for the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. And so basically NAHRAP is an organization that has several goals in mind. First and foremost, it is to promote Hispanic homeownership in our market. And that's incredibly important because that actually happens to be the quickest growing segment of the market for home buying and selling. So it's really significant. It's not just a very small part of the segment market. It's huge, right? And so they're trying to empower more Hispanics to purchase in our market. And then they are also working with real estate professionals and providing them with the tools and resources to tap into that market. Because, of course, that's just going to empower home buyers and sellers to attain their goals, right? So it's a really fantastic organization. And basically, we have different events. We have social mixers. We have educational events where we invite real estate professionals. And when I say that, I mean agents, loan officers, anybody who services the real estate industry. So inspectors, you know, contractors, things like that. So we're inviting them in and we're providing them with the tools to help the Hispanic market purchase and sell homes.
Yeah. So when you talk about, you know, teaching real estate agents how to tap into that market, what exactly do you mean? I think from the general population has a lot of misunderstandings about maybe being qualified to purchase a home. And I certainly get the sense that the Hispanic community in general has a lot of that too, and maybe even more so than just the general population, that, hey, they don't maybe think that they can be approved to purchase a home. Is a lot of that education? What do you mean by like kind of helping agents kind of understand that market?
Well, NAHRAP has done a fantastic job of researching the market. The Hispanic market, okay? And so they have identified certain aspects or characteristics of the market, such as, you know, everybody has to think about their credit when they're going to buy a home. Well, they found that Generally speaking, Hispanic individuals are really great at paying their bills. They don't have an issue of having bad credit. They have an issue of lack of credit, right? So that's one aspect of people in this market that are looking to buy or sell, that we will empower agents with that information and say, hey, oftentimes if you're talking to somebody that's interested in buying a home, they may have lack of credit. Well, inform them about that. Educate your clients about how to resolve that issue, right? Also, there's different There's different ways to reach out to the market. They've done research and provided statistics on what matters to them culturally so that you can, reach out to them in a way that is culturally significant to them. So Basically, we're just giving them information. It's interesting. I think a lot of professionals in our industry think, well, I don't speak Spanish, therefore I cannot service that market, that segment of the market, which is untrue. I can't remember the exact number, but last time I was here, I think, I was talking about it's over 80% mm-hmm. of people who are looking to buy in that segment of the market. They're completely bilingual. If not, they speak English as their primary language, right? Yeah. But there's a cultural aspect to it, and there are certain roadblocks that maybe they're facing that other people may or may not, right, that we need to just be able to educate them on and help them through. So,
yeah, and I think going back to, being a lack of credit, I think that's kind of a cultural issue, because really a credit score is not really a do you pay your bills on time score. Mm-hmm. It's a debt score. And mm-hmm. so if you don't have any debt,
they don't.
you don't have credit. So, yeah. but obviously if you don't have debt, that's a good thing.
That's good. Right. Yeah.
But unfortunately, credit scores are made up of creditors reporting to your credit bureau, and you only have creditors reporting to your credit bureau if you have debt. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that population aren't out getting credit cards. They're not out, financing different things, which is kind of
a good thing. I mean, that's, again, culturally, that's how they, live.
Right, yeah.
They don't acquire debt. They don't take out credit cards. They pay everything on time with cash or out of their bank account, right? It's almost perceived as a negative for them, but they need to be educated on why they have to do it in order to be able to make their real estate goals a reality.
And we can maybe schedule another show to talk about why that is actually a terrible thing, that maybe we should look at redoing what a credit score is.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
Oh, you actually don't have credit. Let's go get you in debt so we can get you through.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you guys, NALREP does a lot of fantastic things, so I appreciate you sharing. I mean, within that segment, so what are some of the challenges that buyers are having? Is it your typical kind of buyer challenges, or there's some additional challenge that you're just having to spend more time educating that particular community to work through the mortgage process to get approved or the home buying process?
Yeah, I would say it's more involved, but it's incredibly rewarding, because it's more involved, it's, you feel like you've really taken, I don't like to make general statements, but in situations where you're dealing with someone who has lack of credit and really is, maybe hasn't been in the country for that long, so they don't understand how the rules and regulations work, and you walk them through that, then it's incredibly rewarding, right? Another thing that I will say is, generally speaking, the Hispanic community is incredibly loyal. So if you can help someone, a client, to buy a home, they will tell everyone they know about that. So my Hispanic clients are actually a wonderful funnel of referrals, if I do a good job for them, which I always do, of course.
Of course. Awesome. But besides, maybe the lack of credit, what are some of the other challenges that particular community has in going through the home buying process?
Well, like I said, a lot of stuff is paid in cash, right? So it's a matter of making sure they have a bank account and they're providing bank statements. it's hard to make a generalization. Every case is different.
Sure.
But it's mostly just about making them aware of the process, you know, because a lot of them have never bought a home here before. Mm-hmm. And making them aware of, you know, things like HOAs, HOA fees. Why do I have to pay that? You know, so there's a myriad of things that I wouldn't call challenges, but are different to those transactions. And
for sure. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're here with Lauren Green, Wilkinson, ERA Real Estate. Lauren, you had one of the other challenges I kind of see, and again, this is across the board, you talked about low inventory. We've had low inventory for,
ever.
Seems like years now. I mean, years and years and years.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you see that's taken place or that's being worked on to kind of get ahead of that curve, maybe kind of balance out? You talked about, you know, the 1 month supply right now, where a good market is 6 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're so low on the inventory. Is there anything on the horizon that could maybe balance that out?
Well, I know that builders have stepped up their game for sure. New communities are popping up all over the place. So, and that's always a great option for people, because, you know, it comes with built-in one-year warranty and everything's brand new and shiny. So I really do like to encourage my clients to at least consider that as an option. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, because
right.
We just have so many people moving into our area, and for good reason. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be here, right? And they oftentimes are finding that they have more buying power down here than they did where they were coming from. So they're hot to buy. So I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you how we're going to solve this issue, but I really don't. I don't know. All I can tell you is I'm really trying to, myself personally, I'm really trying to encourage people that I know that have been thinking about selling their home. Let's talk about that. Let's put together a plan, because it is a great time to do it, you know. And as a matter of fact, when I talk to people that are thinking about listing, I may have several buyers in my back pocket that would be interested in that very property, you know.
Yeah, we're starting to see a lot of that, you know. I guess I don't know when it came, you know, in vogue to do it, maybe just within the last year or two, but, you know, coming soon. You don't even listing the property yet, and you're building this huge group of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go live, quote unquote, you know, you open it up for a Saturday or something and you got 20 people with multiple offers coming same day.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've had listings that have literally had 10 to 15 offers flood in on day one. I didn't even get a chance to throw an open house, for goodness sake, you know, which is kind of sad for me. But it's like the Wild Wild West, honestly. And I'll tell you what, ever since the real estate profession was made essential, you know, because during most of the stay at home order in Mecklenburg County, we were not allowed to go look at houses or anything, right? And it's almost like the moment that we were told we were essential, people are like, oh, you know, they've all been stuck in the same four walls for weeks on end. And they're like, I need a new house, you know.
Yeah.
And so I personally have taken buyers to go see homes and have found, I am not exaggerating, Brandon, lines of agents and their clients standing out the front door waiting for the preceding group to leave so that they can go in. Yeah.
It really is something else.
It is.
And you look at the region and the nation as a whole, and then you kind of look at the greater Charlotte Fort Mill market, and you know, we're just poised for, you know, tremendous growth. And I think you know, I've talked a lot a few times over the past couple months during this, is more people in states that have been greatly affected, that are very densely populated, are going to want to get out of that. And they're going to look at some different cities, and certainly the greater Charlotte area is going to be the top. And it's no longer a regional thing. You know, used to be, if you lived in Atlanta, I'm going to get out of Atlanta and I'm going to Charlotte. Now it's, you may be in LA,
you may be in
New York, you may be in Seattle, because I see it with the people that I'm working with to help purchase a home. I mean, we're seeing people moving from all over the United States. And when I ask, well, hey, what attracted you to Charlotte? Right. Yeah. They don't even have family here. They just are hearing things and seeing things and seeing reports. And
weather, economy, cost of living. Like, there are just so many, beach and mountains. There are so many reasons.
Yeah, within 3 hours.
I'm the biggest cheerleader for our region that you will ever find. I grew up in Rock Hill. I've lived in Charlotte over 20 years. I'm never going anywhere.
Nice.
So
you've kind of seen it all then. Seen all the growth here?
I can remember when there was one tall building in Uptown Charlotte.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you
remember
that.
That's how old I am.
And Rock Hill was just pastures. Some mills and pastures.
Yeah. It's crazy how much it's grown up before my eyes.
Yeah. So obviously, where do you kind of see that going, man? Are you kind of the same opinion of me that I think we're having a little bit over 100 new people move into the area a day.
Nobody leaving.
And nobody leaving.
That's the problem.
Do you see that growing?
I do. Yeah. I don't think it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. And, that's wonderful for our region because, I think that's a very large reason why Charlotte kind of has like this beautiful little bubble, or the Charlotte region has this beautiful little bubble over it, that protects it from things that are going on in other parts of the country, financially speaking.
So
I don't see it changing anytime soon. I really don't. What's going to be the effect of that? Well, it's basic economics, supply and demand. The more people that come in here and the less houses there are for them to buy, the higher the prices go. And that's why our region, on average, for several years now, has seen 6% appreciation rates year over year versus nationwide, which is about 4%. That's yet another reason why people are so interested in investing in real estate in our region when they come here, is because, why wouldn't I? It's guaranteed income when I decide to sell.
And that's one of the reasons why we have such a lack of inventory. You actually have, really over the past decade, you've had these huge corporations or real estate investment trusts buying up so many properties in the greater Charlotte area to turn into rentals or to put it in their real estate investment trust. And so a lot of times, if you're especially in the first-time homebuyer market, you may be competing against a investment group out of California to purchase that home.
Yes.
So it makes it a little bit tough.
It does. But in that situation, I personally have a really good solution for first-time home buyers, because they are oftentimes in that price point where you are going to be faced, competing with 10 other offers, right?
Yeah.
So for a lot of my first-time home buyers, I actually offer a program where they can, as long as they are fully pre-approved with their loan officer, we can offer to them that they make a full cash offer for whatever home they're interested in. And, they actually have a competitive edge over these investors, because these investors that are coming in, oftentimes, they're like, oh, cash offer. But they're offering significantly less than list price, right? Because they're trying to get it below market value.
Right.
With this program that I'm talking about, I am able to allow my first-time home buyers, as long as they're pre-approved, to make a market value cash offer that can close in 14 days. Okay, so that is incredibly attractive to sellers. So, it's just, you got to make sure in this market, if you're looking to buy, that you're working with somebody who's going to have options like that for you that are going to make you competitive in the market.
Yeah.
To get what you want.
For sure. Certainly the people like yourself, Lauren, that are using the tools and the resources that are available in the marketplace to enhance your buyers and your sellers in negotiations and of course you can, in negotiating price and repairs, and there's lots of different things to negotiate during the process. When you're using the tools and you're spending time to educate yourself so you can have those available, certainly separates you from the masses.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I try to do.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Group. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. Talking a lot about changes, what have you seen this COVID-19 change in the real estate market? Do you think anything is going to be lasting change?
Absolutely, I do.
And what do you think those things may be?
I think it is, whether we feel it or not yet, I think it will change our industry tremendously. It's funny in interacting with the public. One thing I've noticed is COVID-19 has been a very polarizing event, right? Sure. You have some people who are really, really scared by it. And then you've got other people that are like, it's another virus, right? So, and it seems like people are in either in one camp or the other. Well, in our industry, we want to be able to service everybody, right? So we're going to have to find a way to be able to service the people who are still, even after all this is said and done with, nervous about going into homes, and they don't know how many people have been through there, and they don't know anything about the sellers, or, you know, so you got to be able to service those people, but you also have to be willing to service the people who are like, let's go see that house, you know, right, and don't really care about anything. So you definitely have to adapt to both sides. And well, how do you do that? Again, to educating yourself, being a professional, you got to look into, you know, this camp over here that isn't scared or nervous or anything. You just keep doing what you've always done, right? A lot of people in our industry are, super outgoing, and that's why we got into it. We love being with people, so we'll just keep doing what we've been doing with them. But with people who are nervous or maybe compromised, right? They're in ill health or they're high risk. We've got to find ways to help them. And so, you know, virtual tours, virtual open houses, and also allowing those people to get access to what's out there, right? So if you got a listing, you got to get it on social media. You've got to do ads. You've got to do everything you can to get that listing digitally out to everyone who maybe isn't out looking at houses. So,
right.
I hope that made sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, maybe even accommodating those people who are nervous or scared, with, gloves when you walk into
Absolutely.
A home, sanitizer of some sort,
yes.
Mask, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You're so right. It's a very polarizing thing, and some aspects of it, get political, which everything seems to get political these days.
I don't even get into the politics of it.
Yeah. Right. And so as with most things, the truth lies somewhere in the middle,
mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening and you hear the both far sides of each, yes, the truth's somewhere in the middle,
mm-hmm.
As a general rule of thumb, just go with the middle.
Right.
As a professional in sales or service, whatever you want to call our industries,
mm-hmm.
It is about accommodating and meeting the needs of the people that we're working with.
Absolutely.
And so we want to be prepared and be gracious for whatever their needs are, so mm-hmm. we can help them buy or sell a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's become, the real estate industry, generally speaking, I think tends to be a little behind the times with regards to technology. And so I think I personally, during the stay-at-home order, kind of took the opportunity, first of all, I was terrified, right? I was getting no calls.
Right.
Everybody was stuck at home. Nobody was thinking about selling. Nobody was thinking about buying. And I got scared. But, those who are successful in business take opportunities to pivot, right? And use what's given to them to figure out how to use it wisely, whatever the situation may be. So I spent a lot of time researching digital marketing, researching social media and how to, really affect people and help them through those kinds of channels. And so I think to continue to succeed in our industry, we're really going to have to take the initiative as agents and as loan officers to start educating ourselves about technology and how can we use that to better service the community and our clients. So I think that's really kind of the takeaway.
Yeah, I think from a general perspective, anyone in life, whether an agent or whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. the past few months has been a great opportunity to acquire new information, to learn a new skill. And of course, with what we do, we always want to be learning new things. There's mm-hmm. always things coming on board, whether it be technology or, you know, in my case, you know, different new mortgage guidelines. Certainly the past 3 months have been.
I can only imagine keeping up
have been a chaos, a roller coaster of chaos, if you will.
Yeah.
But certainly the real professionals are the ones who are investing in themselves mm-hmm. with new knowledge, with new tools and new resources. And certainly you have shown that you're very into that, which is fantastic and a testament to your buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
What is your recommendation for other agents as far as to kind of making sure they're investing in themselves and their knowledge to help the community in general?
Well, you know, again, it's just everything is a learning opportunity, right? And everything is an opportunity for growth. So, you know, it's a good time to reach out to past clients, to your sphere of influence, ask them how they're doing and how this COVID-19 thing has impacted them. And just kind of take what you can from those conversations and with conversations with other agents and come kind of tweak your business plan, right? And start coming up with ideas and ways that you can service your community and your clients in different ways, maybe that you haven't before, and then really focus on getting the education and getting the training to be able to implement that into your business plan. So, you know, I'm keeping it vague because we're all so different. Like, we all have our own unique talents and everything. Some people hate social media. And I know people in our industry who have no social media presence, which absolutely blows my mind. But, you know, to each their own. But if they're not going to do that, then they've got to figure out another way that they're going to stay top of mind and they're going to stay on top of changes in our industry, you know. So it's really just about kind of taking this as an opportunity to look inside yourself, see what your strengths and talents are, see how things are changing, and pivot.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of blows my mind. It's the people who are anti this or anti that. It really... Listen, if you're in the sales and service business, it's not about you.
No.
It's about your client and are you doing the best for them? And maybe that's not social media. I'm not saying it is.
Right,
but you got to make sure that you're doing things for the betterment of your client, not because you've got a particular, you know, particular dogma. But, yeah, so social media is one of those great things as far as, you know, being able to connect with people.
Absolutely.
How do you kind of balance the technology piece of social media versus personal interaction? Or it, I mean, I feel in a lot of ways, especially, you know, younger generations that are, and it's not even a generational thing. I think maybe just a personal thing. Cause I've got some, you know, my parents are engaged in social media and kind of you gear towards a personal interaction with social media. Now it's no longer always has to be face to face, but how do you kind of balance between social media, technology, and reaching out versus personal connections?
Well, that's a great question. I think the way I look at social media, because I am pretty active on it, is that is a way for me to keep tabs of what's happening in people's lives, right? And then me let people know what's going on in my life and in my business. So it's just kind of a way to keep on top of each other on a very surface level, right? But what it does is it opens an opportunity for, okay, you see that somebody just had a baby that you know, or you know, you're participating. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups. You see a woman that you've never met before who's going through a big struggle that she shares on the group. Friend her. Send her a message. Let her know that you're thinking about her and see if you can connect with her that way. Or a friend that had a baby. Use that as an opportunity to give them a call because, you know, that is the stuff that they remember, right?
Right.
We see so much. We are so inundated with information these days, especially with the social media aspect of our lives, that it's really hard to remember details of what you see and what people are going through. But So that's why the personal touch continues to remain incredibly important. And you can't ever lose sight of that. You always got to give them a call, send them a card, and do whatever.
I think you laid it out really well as far as, you know, you can see different events happening, and that could maybe prompt a great opportunity to reach out mm-hmm. and, you know, empathize with somebody or, you know, help somebody out.
Offer some help. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're here with Lauren Green, Wilkinson ERA Real Estate. Lauren, anything we kind of didn't cover with some of the things that you do specifically for your clients? I know you're heavily involved with NILREP, like we talked about, mm-hmm. Kind of educating not just that specific segment of the market, but also realtors and mortgage companies in general.
What do I personally do? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I guess I lost track of the question, but I mean, it's funny. Even before all this stuff went down with stay-at-home orders and everything, I've been doing video tours for my buyer clients for 2 years now. So a lot of the changes that have happened with all this have always just kind of been second nature for me anyway. So now with listings, I'm definitely making sure that I'm offering virtual open houses for those listings. I'm making sure that I'm very clear on what my sellers are comfortable with regards to entry into the home and precautions that need to be taken, and being very clear about my communication of that to buyers, agents, and their clients. And just basically really focusing on, okay, we all know that there are certain aspects to marketing a listing or getting information to buyers that are just will never go away. MLS is number one. Access to MLS. Pricing well. Please price your home well if you're going to sell it, you know.
Right.
Just because we're in a seller's market does not mean you get to say, you know, I'm going to ask $1 million, you know. So.
Unfortunately, that happens.
It's.
But you just got your pricing strategy designation. So what is that? How does that, help the people that you work with?
Well, it just, like I said, in my humble opinion, MLS is the most important thing, and then in marketing your home. And then the second most important thing to me, you can't do anything about location. Number one rule of real estate is location, 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 right? Well, you're either in a good location or you aren't. So, but price is so incredibly important. And this is something I preach to people all the time. If you're working with an agent who is going to just walk in and say, what do you want to sell your house for, right? Then you're working with the wrong agent. I actually had a past client who, it was so cool. She posted something on my page about how she had gone through three agents. The one offer she'd gotten across those three agents ended up being $60,000 less than what I got her for her listing. And it's because they were, she told me one of those agents just walked in and said, well, what do you want to sell it for? And she had no clue how to price her home,
right.
You know?
That's
well, guess what happens? If you don't price your home right, you get zero traffic. And the longer that your home sits on the market with no traffic or no offers, the less attractive it looks to buyers. They start to think, what's wrong with that place? You know, why is it still on the market? So you want to make sure that you're working with an agent who is going to very clearly educate you on the market, and especially your little micro market. And through the pricing strategy advisor program, the designation, what we learn to do as agents is really look at not only market value, but look at a home as if an appraiser were looking at it, right?
Right.
Because you want to know what market value is, but you also want to understand that any buyer that goes under contract on your home most likely is going to be they're going to have that home appraised, right? So you got to look at it as an appraiser, but you also have to consider market value, and you got to find that beautiful, perfect spot right in the middle, right? That's going to make sure that home closes.
And I think that's such a misunderstood portion of that process for home buyers and sellers, the appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
I hear all the time, well, I just put in some closet shelving. It cost me $1,500. So there's 15. Well, that really actually didn't add a dollar value. Now, it may bring some interest to someone who's actually looking at your home,
right?
But it doesn't add a dollar of value on the appraisal. Maybe it's some intrinsic value to a buyer, but it's actually no dollar value. So I get those statements all the time. Oh, I just replaced, you know, my hardwood. Well, did you already have hardwood? Yes. Well, you didn't add a dollar of value.
Yeah.
And even if you did, if you went from, you know, laminate to hardwood, still not a huge amount of dollar value there.
Especially not if other homes that are good comps in the neighborhood already had the hardwood too. So you are not improving your home really. You're just getting up to where your comps would be.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's definitely a misunderstood thing as far as what actually does create value based on an appraisal. And that, of course, is how when I'm providing a loan for the buyers of your listing, when we do an appraisal to verify that the home is worth what it is that we're giving money for, we're looking at comparable sales, what has sold in the market. And we're not on an appraisal, not really going into great depth as far as, you know, every little thing that you may have done that you think adds value probably doesn't. The appraiser is going to look at the age of the home and the condition of the home. And they're going to make some line item adjustments. If house one was just renovated, maybe it's, you know, it's going to get a condition rating of one, meaning excellent. And maybe if the neighbor's home hasn't been, you know, recently renovated, it may get a condition rating of three. And there may be a slight item adjustment for that, but it's honestly not too significant.
Right.
And then based on other information, you're looking at number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, square footage, and like big ticket items. Does this home have a screened in porch? That's an adjustment on an appraisal. But a lot of these smaller things that buyers or sellers think that it's going to be adding value really doesn't. So a huge point to make when you're talking to your sellers about what a comparable sale is, what an appraisal value is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people misconstrue that things that you have to do, like updates that you have to do in order to make the home marketable to buyers, like attractive to buyers, it's not. Again, you're trying to be as good or maybe a teensy bit better than everybody else in the neighborhood, so someone will want to buy it. That doesn't mean that it's going to be worth more money, right? And another common mistake that a lot of sellers make is they're looking on Zillow, they're looking on Realtor.com. They're not looking at the homes that have actually sold within the last 3 months in their neighborhood that are the same size, square footage, style, number of bedrooms, et cetera. They're looking at what's currently on the market, what's listed. My neighbor just listed their house for $375,000, so I want to list mine for $380,000 because I've got, you know, another half bath. I don't care what your neighbor listed their house for 2 weeks ago. What I care about is what, you know, the houses in your neighborhood sold for within the last 3 months, right? And this is another issue with our low inventory. It's hard finding comps that have sold, right? So oftentimes we can't just go back 3 months to find comps. We got to go back 6 months, in some areas a year. And then we have to make adjustments for appreciation. So there are so many things to consider when pricing your home, and you have to make sure that you're working with somebody who has a very strong understanding of that and is going to advise you how to price that's going to get a lot of traffic in your home and it's going to get you under contract quickly, because that is incredibly important.
For sure. And I think it's also very important for sellers to understand that when someone's buying their home and they're getting, you know, financing, the financing is based on the lower of the appraisal value or sales price, so whichever's lower. So now, obviously, we're in an appreciating market. Values are continue to go up, which is great for the area. Sometimes it may create an issue, especially if you've got a situation where that neighbor has a bad agent and allowed them to list, you know, $60,000 more than what it should be.
Or is a for sale by owner.
Or a for sale by owner. Yeah, right? And so it creates this whole cycle of kind of bad pricing for a neighborhood.
It really does.
So it's really important to work with someone who actually knows what they're doing and knows how to price a home.
Yeah.
Because, but it's important for that seller to understand that if their buyer is getting financing, everything's going to be based on that appraisal value.
Yeah, I mean, I tell sellers all the time, I'm like, look, I mean, because multiple offer situations can be tricky too, right? A lot of sellers hope and dream for a multiple offer situation. But then they get in this trap of, okay, we've gotten an offer for $5,000 over list price, $10,000 over list price, $15,000 over list price, okay? And maybe, and then that it becomes this issue of, all right, I'm the kind of listing agent that's going to, if I don't get a phone call from each buyer's loan officer, I'm going to call them, because I have actually in the past gotten a false pre-approval letter, which was a mess, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, and in that particular situation where I had the false pre-approval letter, it was actually, quote, from a loan officer that I personally know, not just kind of know, like I've met her, her number is in my cell phone. So I saw her name on there. I was like, oh, she's never going to give me anything that's not like really full through the underwriting process and everything. But that offer was $15,000 over our list price. Okay. And my seller wanted to go with that offer. I had another buyer also with a loan officer that I knew very well, as an agent that I knew very well, that was $5,000 less. And my sellers didn't want to go with her because they, you know, they got the shiny object, the extra $5,000. Right. And I told them, they can offer you $500,000 over list price. It doesn't matter because it's not going to appraise for that much. I'm telling you right now, it's not. And guess what? It didn't.
Right.
And because it was a false pre-approval, it turned out being a loan that took way longer than I knew the other buyer was going to take, because I knew her agent and her loan officer and everything. And so it was a mess. But yeah, I mean, it's pricing is so incredibly important. And even when you are considering offers, you've got to consider, like, okay, they can offer me as much as they want to, but if it doesn't appraise, are they going to ask us to negotiate down to appraise value? Or are they going to be available to bring those extra funds to the closing table? These are all things that have to be considered in pricing, accepting offers, and closing.
100%. So I'm very curious. When you say false pre-approval, like what?
It was completely fabricated by the buyer's agent.
Wow. That's Dude, impressive.
That was a learning
That's
experience.
Bold.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I actually had a very similar, you know, I'm a huge proponent of the mortgage industry. And so I get really, really frustrated when things like that happen, or I have an interaction with a lender who just is not good at what they do.
Well, this lender was great, but.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. Obviously not that case, but yeah, just earlier this week I had some buyers came my way. They already had a pre-approval letter from somebody else. The listing agent didn't know the company, and she wanted a second look, and so it ended up coming my way. They were under contract. They accepted the offer. They had given money, mm-hmm. and I did a full review and the documents, and you know, unfortunately they weren't qualified and did not meet typical regular guidelines to be approved, and so. Of course, I had to give them the bad news, but yeah, it's very frustrating because it happens way too often. Not being a complete fabrication, but maybe a mortgage company not doing a pre-qualification and not really taking the time to understand what's actually there and the makeup of the application to where it actually can be an approvable loan.
Absolutely, and you know, and that is another great point when you are working with a buyer. There's lots of stuff out there on the internet, right? I still laugh when I hear people tell me when they find out I'm a real estate agent, oh, internet's going to take over your job. I'm like, okay. But, right. You know, but anyway, there's lots of things, shiny objects out there on the internet, but you have no idea what you're getting when you're just going out into the wide open world and applying for something. So when working with buyers, I have my list of loan officers who I know are fantastic at their job. They're going to fully verify that buyer. And again, one thing that I love about doing what I do is I feel like I'm an educator. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Because, and that is such an important aspect of this industry that I think really speaks volumes to clients. So, you know, making sure that my buyers, I'm not going to force them to use anybody, but I'm going to make sure that I've pointed them in the direction of loan officers and lenders that I know do a fantastic job. Because, you know, that agent who fabricated the approval letter, I felt bad for her buyer. She put him at risk, you know, so...
Yeah, the great people in our industry are great educators, and, mm-hmm. and you can't be a great educator unless you are educating yourself continually. And so obviously, you know, we go to great lengths to make sure we're doing that. You go to great lengths to make sure you're doing that. So very, very valuable information in times like this and times in general. You know, there's never been a more important time to work with true professionals in this industry. So,
absolutely,
Lauren Green, we appreciate you being here so much. Great information.
Thank you.
If you have any questions after the show, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Again, 704-999-6646. We appreciate you tuning in, and we certainly hope we'll catch you next Saturday. Have a great week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Antigua K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.